Welcome to the suburbs with Andy and Greg.
So, you know, we traveled to Florida for the month of January, then back again for Super Bowl in February. You just came back from a trip to Florida as well.
I'm in timeout for talking to the Uber driver.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Oh, my gosh. We were talking about this actually last year on the podcast where I asked you, do you talk to the Uber driver? And you said, we don't do Uber. But when you're in the cab, do you talk to the cab driver?
If there is some sort of conversation happening, we will chat with the guy. I don't know Farsi.
I've never met him either.
He's a cab driver.
Okay. So the Uber driver picks us up, and it's early. We're going to the airport. I always say, hi, how's your morning? And he says, it's great. I'm dropping you off at the airport and then going to the gym. I go, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, I'm a personal trainer. Are you? He says, yes, I am. I've got my own private gym. Oh, really? Do you? That's interesting. So what is the average age of a client of yours? And he said, 40 to 60. And I said, okay. So what's their goal when they come to you? And he said, improve their quality of life so that they can have a great lifestyle. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, I used to be a bodybuilder. When I was 20 years old, I weighed 350 pounds.
Big guy.
I said, 350 pounds? Did you play in sports when you were little? And he goes, that would require guidance. And I didn't have any guidance. My father left when I was 2, and my mother left when I was 4. Man, was he bitter. Like, I'd done research on him. I'm like, I know the Uber driver's in St. Pete.
Called him out.
I'm looking at their wiki page.
I know this guy. I'm going to get him going.
At that point, there's just awkward silence. And Keely, I don't realize at the time, is texting me, be quiet.
Shut the F up.
And so I said, trying to dig myself out of the hole.
Did you text her back?
I didn't know she was texting me. My phone was in my back pocket.
Had her on silent.
She was right next to me. Based on the ire, I was not even going to ask, where did they go? Like, did they take an Uber? Was it your attitude that drove them away? I mean, I have all these questions, and I'm definitely not going to ask him because he's the guy behind the wheel. And he's also...
former bodybuilder.
Yeah.
He'd kick your ass.
Professional. Threw those words in there, too. National and professional.
Definitely has a wiki page.
After some awkward silence where he was bitter about the parents leaving him, I said, what is the most common dietary situation that you face when the 40 to 60 age men come to you? And he goes, boy, that's a deep question to answer. And he was finishing up that answer as he dropped us off at the airport 20 minutes later. And Keely was in agony the entire time.
She's got on AirPods and headphones.
And knitting.
Yeah, and knitting. She's checked out.
You can hear, and there's a lot of body shifting going on. And I thought, I can't get out of this now because he's just wound up.
I can see her calling another Uber, pulling up next to you.
Getting out at the red light. So, yeah, he threw out, yeah, I'm on hormone replacement therapy. Oh, that's where the angry guy is coming from.
So is he getting male hormones, I assume, to bring up the anger, or female hormones?
He didn't say anything about they, them, so I guess.
How did his tits look?
He never showed them to me. Eyes forward.
Yeah, right. My eyes are up here. I know you were down there at the IndyCar race, so how was the crowd?
You know what? You talk about a friendly crowd. I mean, really friendly people.
Did Keely sit there and knit during those conversations?
I don't think she felt as captive as she did in the Uber driver's car.
Trapped, you mean?
Yeah.
Almost like a prisoner.
She was a prisoner. And then we got on the plane where you're definitely a prisoner there if you let yourself be. She starts knitting and the woman next to her goes, that looks wonderful, and wants to talk to her, and Keely wants none of it. Like, gave her the stiff arm.
Ouch.
2.5 hours of awkward silence after she gets shunned. Shunned by the knitter.
So I remember growing up as a kid doing all sorts of crazy stuff. We didn't have the entertainment toys that the kids do now. We do things like throw dirt at each other. Those were the toys we had.
Dirt cloud wars at construction sites.
Absolutely.
There was construction going on in the neighborhood, and so they're doing all the foundation work. my friend Jim and I would go over there and throw dirt clods, like you said.
Great fun.
My sister went with us one time, and she was probably two. And so my mom was just like, okay, be careful. You know, she's two. She's going blocks away.
What could happen?
With a six-year-old as the babysitter. And she comes back. You know, I'm busy throwing dirt clods. I'm not paying attention to her. My mom didn't say, you're in charge of babysitting her. Don't let her out of your sight.
Those were not the instructions.
Not that I was aware of.
All you heard was be careful.
That's right. That's
all you took away from that.
And so my friend's dad was in the National Guard. So they always had MREs in their house. Because he would be going to play Army in the summer. I remember they were gray colored. They didn't have labels on them, but they were stamped with what was in them. So this is at that construction site. And we thought that if we put it on the top of the dirt hill, it would be close enough to the sun to heat them up and we could eat the food.
That makes perfect sense. This is before microwaves.
Oh, I thought you were going to say before college.
You were six, so I would think. Did it heat the food? That's the question.
It didn't. No, it wasn't close enough.
Needed a bigger hill.
Needed a bigger hill. There you go.
Should put your sister on your shoulders.
She's on my back is what she is.
She's got you pinned to the carpet. You're tapping out.
Oh, I've tapped out a long time ago. So anyway, we come home after throwing dirt clods, and my sister's got this purple around her mouth, and my mom suddenly is concerned about her two-year-old. And then all of a sudden, what's this purple around her lips? I go, I don't know. I was busy. So she immediately jumped to the conclusion that it's poisonous berries, went to the hospital, and had my sister's stomach pumped.
It was actually?
Peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, so I was no longer the babysitter.
You were fired. You know, when we were growing up in our neighborhood, it was, again, simpler times. My mother had a bell she would ring at 5 o'clock.
Yes, my friend Richard had one of those.
My neighbor next door had like a church bell.
Yeah.
But my mom had the bell, and at 5 o'clock, she'd step out on the back patio and ring that, and wherever you were, it's time.
You could hear it around the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Pavlov.
Time for a shrimp casserole.
Oh, man. Delicious. What was the side dish with shrimp casserole?
Probably
canned fruit.
Fruit cocktail.
Yeah, okay.
In heavy syrup.
So Jim and I, we lived right next door to each other, and our parents would collaborate on different things to keep us busy during the summer when we weren't in kindergarten. They would go to this lumber mill and get wood, and then we would just build things with the scrap wood. We're down in his basement, and we've decided to build a go-kart. We got the wheels, we got the axles. We get this go-kart built, and we realize it has no power.
You kind of like a young Elon Musk.
Well, yeah. I realized, hey, wait a minute. There are a lot of things powered with electricity. Let's power the go-kart with electricity.
And what age are we now?
4 or 5.
Still young. Okay. A thinking man at the time, using reason.
Critical thinking. The problem with it is you only have 4 years of experience with your critical thinking skills.
Lower edge of that curve.
Yeah, there's a learning curve there that I had not experienced. And so my reasoning went to pound a couple of nails in the back end.
It's rear engine.
Yes, it was for sure. Wrap a hanger around them and plug it into the outlet. And that was the last time we were allowed to work in the basement alone with tools.
And how fast did that roaster go?
Well, I don't know, but when Jim plugged it in, he went pretty fast. Yeah. I mean, he quickly let go. That was a top-end qualifying speed.
What are you guys doing down there? Nothing.
Yeah, the lights flicker and go out. What's going on?
Just powering our roadster, Mom. Go back to what you were doing.
Having an MRE for lunch.
Cold.
In St. Pete, I had mentioned how friendly everybody was. And I'm walking downtown, and this car of women dressed to the nines pulls up and says, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Do you know where the such-and-such theater is? We're guests of the mayor, and we're trying to find the theater. And they're like, we can't get any place. And I go, well, yeah, one block this way is a racetrack. So all these people are here for this race, and they've got streets blocked because of that. So you're not going to be able to get anywhere. So fast forward to Sunday, beautiful day, friendly people all around it. We're talking to all kinds of people.
Knitting.
No, I was not knitting. I made my sweater earlier in the week, and so I made my hat to protect me from the sun.
Got to do that.
Yeah, I had halves of Coke cans. Do you remember those hats?
That were like stitched together with yarn.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
Soda drink hat. That's what I did, so that I could just have a beer on each one with a hose coming because I'm too lazy to tip the beer into my mouth.
Got things to do. I'm a busy person.
Got to knit. I got to have my hands free. Where our seats are in the first turn, you walk past the clubhouse for this airport to get to the seats.
Yep.
And lo and behold, there's those two ladies. I mean, there are 120,000 people at this race.
Still looking for that theater. Is it here?
Still dressed to the nines. Did you think you were going to church and a race broke out? I mean, really dressed up. And so I said, excuse me, did you stop a guy on the sidewalk yesterday asking for directions to a theater? And she gets this look on her face like, oh my God.
Stalker.
No, happiness. Total joy. She goes, you remember what I look like? And I go, yeah, they're both like, I've got to shake your hand.
You're a minor celebrity.
And Keely's just like, what? You talk to strangers just like out of nowhere.
Just keeps walking.
So we talk and she goes, my name's Georgia from Louisiana. I'm a great cook.
Is that a resume? You have your CV card.
That's the intro. That's the intro greeting. I'm a great cook. I go, well, you would have to be named Georgia from Louisiana. I bet you make the best fried chicken on the whole planet. My chicken is excellent. And I go, I bet it is. I bet I'm better, though. I've been told I make the best fried chicken.
Here we go.
There are these guys that are like, you got to go downtown to the Eagle restaurant. It's the best chicken in Indianapolis. I said, I make the best chicken in Indianapolis. That's impossible. I said, hey, my grandma grew up in the hills of Kentucky. She knows how to make fried chicken. I watched her make fried chicken. I can make better fried chicken than you. Doubt it. So they all came over and they looked at me and they go, this is better fried chicken. I'm telling you.
Was Georgia from Louisiana there?
No, she wasn't there to judge it. But she said, is it beer batter and deep fried? I said, no, it's not. It's skillet fried. And it's rolled in flour with nice salt and pepper seasonings. I'm telling you, it's the best. It's better than yours. I make better gumbo. I go, okay, I'll give you that. So I thought we were going to get an invitation to breakfast. We exchange addresses. I'm going to send her a Christmas card. All just because I didn't know the directions to the theater on Saturday.
Was she still wandering around the racetrack looking for that theater?
No. She said they had a great time, and she also said the mayor can't sing.
Kind of like Jim Irsay. Was his name Jim Irsay?
It should be. Yeah, they did find the theater, and they sang, and then the mayor came up. Terrible vocals.
What was the name of the other woman?
I don't know that she told me her name, but how are you going to forget Georgia from Louisiana?
You can't.
No.
She's sitting around right now on her Louisiana podcast talking about Greg from Indianapolis.
I don't think I gave her my name.
Oh, okay.
I might have. I don't know. I did shake her hand. She's got a good handshake. And Keely commented on her glasses. You've got the most beautiful glasses. I love your glasses. Oh, thank you. Yeah. So then she's texting, and I go, what are you texting? It's none of your business. I'm texting the girls about how you just walk up and talk to strangers. Then we have the Uber incident. She goes, you're banned from talking to the Uber driver. I thought fisticuffs were going to happen just because I asked him about his weight and playing football. I thought he'd be a lineman. No, you need guidance for that.
Is that a lifetime ban or just a period of time, you think?
Well, let's explore that for a second. So,
please.
So we're in the airport and we're having coffee, so which is like working through me.
And you're like, got to talk to somebody.
I got to talk to a stranger.
You're like,
I'm hopped up on caffeine. Plenty of people
everywhere. To. Swing a dead cat and hit a stranger.
I go do my thing, and on the way back, I run across this guy who's got a Force Racing jacket on. I stop and talk to him. I go, Force Racing, how was your weekend? He goes, well, we qualified second and finished eighth. Meanwhile, Keely is watching this going, are you kidding me?
I told you, you can't talk to me. Come here, young man, grabs you by the ear, pulls you away, and sits you down and says, listen, no more talking to strangers. Like, but, no buts. I said, read my lips. Do you not understand English? What's wrong with you? I have a mind to take you out back and spank you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, really?
No problem. I've been a very, very bad boy.
When I get back to Keely after talking to stranger number
407.
She's texting again. I look at her screen and she pulls the phone away. She goes, no, you can't see this.
I'm texting a stranger. I just picked 10 random numbers and started a conversation. Sound familiar?
I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm texting our girls. You're talking to strangers again. I took a picture. I'm sending it. I go, he was with a race team. We were at a race.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Did you know his name? No. Did you know him before a second ago? No. Stranger. Stranger Danger. Haven't you ever heard of that? Apparently not.
No.
At the race, I believe there was a concert after.
Oh, there was.
Qualifications. Bret Michaels, correct?
Bret Michaels.
Lead singer from Poison. Mm-hmm. He does kind of a country rock thing now. Did you guys stay for the concert?
No.
Did not. And he does hits of Poison as well. Everybody expects to hear those songs.
We could hear the concert from our Airbnb.
He's still lean, mean, sexy looking rocker. You know Mike Reno from Loverboy?
Not personally. I'd go up and talk to him if I didn't know him.
He looks like he swallowed a whole cow.
I thought you were going to say bag of chips, but...
He's been to way too many buffets.
Oh, all-you-can-eat buffets.
So instead of lover boy, blubber boy.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, he would like your fried chicken.
Well, everybody likes my fried chicken. I'll tell you how many times I cook the fried chicken, twice a year, because we don't eat fried food. So for the Indy 500, and then one random time.
You'll have to bring some over sometime.
I will.
Yeah.
We'll have you guys over, and I'll make fried chicken.
Can you make sure your neighbor is using his lawnmower with a jet engine when we come over?
He moved. Uh-oh. His wife could no longer tolerate his presence.
So she's there and he's gone?
They're both gone.
They went separate ways.
They used separate moving vans.
Oh, my God. Your turn. Who wants this lamp?
When Keely was a year out of breast cancer, we had a party. You were invited, but I think you were down in Florida exchanging frozen entrees with your parents. He came over hammered. His wife came over with fresh tattoos, and I thought, I think there's a lifestyle change going on here. A matter of 2 months later, they had separate moving vans.
What were her tattoos?
I don't know.
Mother, the heart.
Machine gun.
I don't know. Anchors away.
Butterfly.
Tramp stamp.
The butterfly tramp stamp. That's always a good look.
Oh, look, there's another bad decision from the 80s.
The thing that I find interesting are the people that get the tattoo, but it's in a place nobody can see.
It's a personal thing. My niece has a couple that her mother is distraught over. My mother, even more distraught over. Have you seen those tattoos? We have. She still has those tattoos.
Like they wash off in the shower.
Maybe she'll get them removed. But apparently she's doing her whole upper arm sleeve.
Oh, sleeve.
And no one knows. I didn't even see it.
What are they?
Some little weird heart and a little weird animal of sorts.
Oh, a weird animal, like a platypus?
Manatee.
Okay. A manatee chewing on someone's leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Half beaver, half manatee. It's taking over South Florida. Carly's got one that's flowers. It's really pretty. It's not colored in.
Mm-hmm.
She got it in jail. They mix cigarette ashes and ink.
Use a needle and a pen. They say it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, right. That's because of the bread whiskey they made or whatever the hell it is.
Toilet gin. More toilet gin, please.
Hers is cool. I like it. Well, at first she got one that was the Dave Matthews Fire Dancer, and I wasn't a fan, but that was me being a dumbass. It wasn't anything else other than that.
Jimmy Reiser has a lot of tattoos. He's told me that once you start, it's something in your psyche that once you push that door open, you just keep wanting to do more and more. His daughter went through cancer, and so he had a ribbon put on as a memory ribbon for her. To him, those are the ways of connecting his emotions and his feelings to what's happening around him.
Kind of a scrapbook of sorts. So with Keeley's aesthetics business, you can now dye skin and cover the tattoo with skin tone rather than having it removed with a laser.
Oh, interesting.
So it's almost like tattooing skin color over the tattoo.
PMS number.
Right. 186. When you go to the Indy 500, if you are on the south end of the track where turns 1 and 2 are, you're going up 16th Street toward the track. There's a train trestle that you go under. There's always a guy that's playing the 5-gallon plastic Menards drums, and he's got a sax player with him, and they always are playing the same song. I don't think they ever practice. It's just, hey, you know that sax that we found on the street? Let's break it out and play it for money.
They get that one song. They know it really well.
Yeah.
So they play it for the entire afternoon.
Smoke on the Water. Let's play Smoke on the Water again. There was a violinist that was out at the corner that I looked at Keely. I go, we got to put money in the thing. I mean, this guy's awesome.
Just don't talk to him.
Why, is that a thing?
Because he's a stranger.
Oh. I got to wait till he's done. Why are you waiting? I got to talk to this guy. Come on. Like I'm the dog trying to eat the
nitty to do
trash food in the gutter that I'm sitting there straining my leash. Just let me have that. It looks like an old hamburger bun. Just let me talk to him once. I just want to ask his name now.
Say hi. No means no.
There was a dude that was playing guitar, and some woman wanted to sing with him, and she was looking up the lyrics for Hotel California.
Oh, yeah, classic.
And this guy was just, wow. I think he talked to angels. I mean, he was out there and not a good guitarist. And she was a horrible singer, and she's holding her phone to read the lyrics. People were actually taking money back.
Making change.
Here's the dollar, and I need these 75 cents. It's worth a quarter to me.
Hi, this is Andy. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please be sure to subscribe and share. Remember, laughter is contagious. Help us spread it by telling a friend.